Good evening. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The spring election will be held April 7th. While you may be thinking you have time to decide if you wish to run for local office, there are deadlines coming up if you wish to appear on the ballot. The final day for filing nomination papers is 5 p.m. Tuesday, January 6th. Candidates for county supervisor must file with the Richland County Clerk. Several incumbents have decided to run for re-election to serve on the Richland County Board. They include Mary Miller, serving District 2, Randy Schoonover, serving District 3, Richard McKee in District 5, Larry Engel, serving District 6, Tiffany Thompson, serving District 9, Carrie Severson in District 16, and Steve Williamson, serving District 17. Several current board members have filed non-candidacy. They are Elaine Hendricks in District 7, Gary Manning in District 8, Julie Fleming in District 19, and Chad Cosgrove in District 14. Shirley Welty has filed to run to serve District 8, and Michael Windle is circulating nomination papers to serve in District 14. In the Richland School District, incumbents Tiffany Thompson and Jill Sharp had filed to run again. A third seat is also up for election, which is currently held by Sheila Troxell. In the River Valley School District, Sarah Karstensen has filed paperwork to run for re-election in Area 4, the Village of Lone Rock, and Pam Gauger has filed to run for re-election in Area 2, the Town of Arena. Kathy Jennings, who currently represents Area 1, the Village of Arena, has filed non-candidacy. Those wishing to run for school board must file with the appropriate school district. For years, Wisconsin school administrators have said the state funding formula isn't fair. Statewide teachers say they're doing the best they can with what they have at a time when children need more support. But rural districts face distinct challenges. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Rural districts face distinct challenges. The state recently announced significant funding cuts for more than 300 school districts across the state, many of which are rural. Those cuts stem from the state budget passed by the legislature. Jeff Idy with the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance says more cuts only exacerbate ongoing staffing issues, federal funding uncertainty, and dwindling resources, and that can lead to hard choices.
We make decisions that have the best impact for kids and least impact on our school district in the end. But that becomes just incredibly challenging when we haven't received as much of the funding.
ID says Wisconsin's established revenue limits further compound matters by creating inequities between districts. Schools that try to be more frugal end up capped at lower rates and they get less funding. ID says funding from the legislature hasn't met the rate of inflation for more than 15 years, and all of us have experienced inflation hitting just about everything, including schools, maintenance, utilities, and supplies. ID says with the right resources, rural districts could be unstoppable.
We do a great job of connecting to the students, the community. Once we have students and or staff come in and be a part of our rural school districts, they just love it. They love being a part of that. They feel connected. They feel like it's a great thing. Rural school districts are the heartbeat of their community and are incredibly important to the economy.
About 40% of Wisconsin students are in rural school districts. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
A study conducted by researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison found that runoff from landfills in the state contain the highest levels of PFAS, according to a WPR report. Researchers first began collecting samples for the study in 2023, seeking to identify the largest potential sources of the forever chemicals in groundwater. Around two-thirds of Wisconsin residents get their drinking water from groundwater sources and could suffer negative health effects like an increased risk of certain kinds of cancer as a result of the PFAS contamination. Researchers working on the study say they collected samples from 16 landfill sites in the state, which showed the highest concentrations of PFAS. They also say they're hoping the findings can help state lawmakers better regulate PFAS contamination. Currently, the Environmental Protection Agency has established drinking water standards to manage the forever chemicals, but there are no federal or state regulations managing their presence in groundwater. The EPA also does not currently require PFAS monitoring or reporting at landfill sites. With so many shoppers making returns, it's important to remember that stores set their own rules when it comes to refunds and exchanges. Stores are not legally required to accept exchanges or give refunds unless the merchandise was defective or misrepresented. While most retailers do offer refund and exchange programs, policies vary greatly from one store to another. Be sure to double-check policies this holiday season, even if you are familiar with the brand, as stores can change their policies whenever they want. The Better Business Bureau has some tips that could help to make your holiday returns run more smoothly. No store policies. Understand that many retailers change their policies for the holiday season. If the store allows returns or exchanges, find out if you need to pay a restocking fee. Ask the seller if they offer cash refunds, exchanges, or only store credit. Store policies are usually posted at the checkout counter or printed on the back of receipts. Know the rules for returning gifts without a receipt. Returning gifts without a receipt can be tricky. Without a receipt, most retailers offer store credit or an exchange rather than a full refund to your original method of payment, especially if the item is marked down or on clearance. Bring your ID. Many stores ask to see your ID when you return an item to avoid holiday return scams. Sometimes retailers require you to bring your ID and the original form of payment. If this is the policy of the store where your gift is from, you may need the assistance of the gift giver in order to be reimbursed. Make returns in a timely fashion. Almost all return policies are valid during a specific time period. Some stores modify their return period during the holidays, so don't risk missing your chance to make your return. Take the item back to the store without delay. Watch out for return scams. Be on the lookout for fraudulent return policies or suspicious third-party return services that promise to handle the process for you. Always follow official channels and platforms when returning items. For more information or further inquiries, contact the Wisconsin BBB at bbb.org/Wisconsin or call 1-800-273-1002. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention have launched a new grant program to support initiatives and programs at school districts, law enforcement agencies, domestic violence organizations, firearm retailers, and local governments, among others, to help crack down on crime and prevent violence, including intimate partner and gun violence across Wisconsin. The governor kicked off the year by declaring 2025 the Year of the Kid and announcing an executive order creating a new statewide Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention in the wake of a deadly shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison that took the lives of two people and injured six others. The grant program is supported by about $10 million in federal funding directed by the governor that will invest in key efforts across the state to reduce crime and violence and keep kids, families, and communities safe. Among other critical responsibilities, the Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention is charged with connecting the dots between state and local government agencies, including law enforcement agencies, to ensure a whole-of-government approach to prevent violence, including gun violence statewide, supporting and providing technical assistance to local violence prevention and intervention efforts, administering and awarding grants to school districts, firearm dealers, law enforcement agencies, nonprofits, and government agencies to support violence reduction and prevention initiatives, helping develop public education campaigns to promote safer communities, and identifying opportunities to improve statewide policies or laws. Interested and eligible applicants will be able to apply across five different categories and subcategories that are designed to respond to various community and public safety needs. Additional information about the Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention Grant Program, including guidelines and application procedures, is available on the Wisconsin Department of Administration's webpage. Applications are due Friday, January 16th. The Department of Workforce Development has announced that a new round of grant funding is available to Wisconsin's healthcare sector employers to help train workers and fill critical workforce needs. The $2.25 million in grant funds are available through the Wisconsin Fast Forward program to develop and implement a strategic industry partnership program for high-demand health sciences, healthcare, and related occupations. Awards ranging from $5,000 to $400,000 will be used to reimburse healthcare employers for the cost of developing trainings that bring together strategic industry partners. These may include nonprofits, community-based organizations, 2- and 4-year higher education institutions, workforce development boards, tribal governments or appointees, local governments, state, regional, or local economic development entities, labor unions, industry associations, apprenticeship programs or sponsors, training providers, and other partners. Strategic industry partnerships for this grant should include at least 4 project partners and must include at least 1 employment placement partner. It is anticipated that the relationships developed through WFF-funded training programs will continue to flourish after the grant has ended. A skilled workforce is vital to economic development and community growth in Wisconsin. A funding or in-kind match of 50% of the amount of the grant is required. Applications must be submitted by 3 p.m. Monday, January 12th.